We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Timeline is a Blue Wire podcast. Welcome to the Timeline of Phoenix Suns podcast. Sam, down 0-1, how you feeling?
I've been better, man. We are your humble, faithful servants here at the Timeline, recording at 3:35 Arizona time. That is like 5 minutes after the game ended. So, reminder to all you guys that obviously, I don't know, this is just like broad strokes. We paint with a broad brush here in the immediate reaction pods. But, yeah, Suns get pummeled in game one.
Yeah.
Timberwolves throw the first punch, and, yeah, we got to talk about it.
5 minutes after the buzzer sounded, but about 20 minutes after the game actually ended.
That's a really good point. Yeah, maybe even 30 minutes at this point. It was really weird that this was a four-point game in, halfway through the third quarter? Like, it's one of those games that ended – obviously far before the actual buzzer sounded, but it ended, it happened in the blink of an eye. Like it went from a...
Ant ended it, yeah.
Yeah, and that's really what it was. Anthony Edwards ended this game in the blink of an eye, went from a four-point deficit to a 20-point deficit in the span of 6 minutes.
I'll tell you what I looked up just before this. In fact, there was a stretch of obviously 18 points in the third quarter, but 10 of those 18 points came in about the last 3 minutes of that third quarter. By Anthony Edwards. That was the barrage. That's when you just all of a sudden were getting punched in the face over and over and over again. And what happened right before those 10 points? Drew Eubanks checked in, which I thought may be partially coincidental because admittedly, he was making really tough shots on pretty good defense. I think KD got cooked a little bit by him over and over again there. But I do think that Nurkic was doing a better job at playing him high and Eubanks... They just started switching everything, essentially, once Eubanks was on the floor and they let other guys guard Anthony Edwards and he was killing them in one-on-one scenarios in that case. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they went to trapping later and he started making good passes. Yeah. The threes started dropping and that's when the game really ended. Not to mention, of course, the 18-point outburst was the catalyst, but I think the fact that they made 5-6 threes after that really, I think, was it made it impossible for the Suns to have any chance of coming back.
You know what's weird is like they went to trapping. It's interesting because broadly speaking, Frank Vogel made adjustments in this game. Like the people who say, oh, he never makes adjustments. He did make adjustments. But oftentimes those adjustments just came so late. Like in the case of the trapping, that was very much a fourth quarter adjustment after Ant had his 18-point third quarter. Some of those reps, the urgency for the Suns looked pretty good for three or four possessions. But it's like, okay, you cut the lead from 22 to 16. And now at a certain point, like Ant is going to find the guys and the Timberwolves start making their threes and like, okay, now it's over. So there were just a few things that happened like that where it's like the Suns were definitely changing the way they played. They played with some urgency. To be clear, I don't think this was the worst possible game they could have played, but the first half was atrocious. The process was terrible and they dug themselves a hole. It dug themselves a hole that they could not get out of.
I thought the reality, the real story of the game, it just to put it in sort of ESPN style sound bites, Anthony Edwards exploded, Devin Booker cratered, you know, because that's part of it. And it's not even necessarily saying that if Devin Booker had a great game, they would have definitely won.
Huge game, I think, for there's, narrative. Huge game, yeah, for narratives. Yeah.
There's more to it than if Devin Booker had a good game, they definitely win. There's definitely more to it than that. But he had a bad game, and really only some scoring at the end there that made it look okay. But the reality was, McDaniels is one of the best defenders in the NBA. And I think if you add the level of physicality that is allowed post All-Star break, he jumps up even another level, which makes it really difficult. He has the screen navigation to contest on pull-up three-pointers. He has ability and length to recover at the rim on drives. I do think there was a little bit of Booker saying, okay, if you're not going to call that, I'm going to stop doing it a little bit, you know, where his drives all of a sudden started going down as the game progressed and he started shooting more pull-up shots. I do think he needs to continue to get downhill as quickly as possible, because if Gobert's going to play him high, which he was, get downhill. If you get blocked once or twice early in the game, keep doing it. And if it becomes four or five times, okay, they're going to call it occasionally, but also occasionally you'll make those as well.
Honestly, we could talk about the impact of Jaden McDaniels, and obviously he's a great defender. What was more concerning to me, though, about Booker in this game was, and we're talking about the whole series here, they got trounced. You take this result, and you flush it, and you move on to the next game. Yeah. Ultimately, I think that's what we have to talk about. That has to be their process within the locker room. As they take these results, they flush it.
If Anthony Edwards continues to have games like that where he has a quarter where he just destroys you by himself, it's going to be impossible to win. That's something
right.
we talked
but,
about.
But this is why I tweeted out
but
at
he
one
won't
point
do
during
it always,
the game.
Yeah.
I tweeted out at one point during the game, like, it's fine to lose game one, but it matters how you lose. You can't allow a 25-point loss to dictate your mental state for the rest of the series, and I hope it won't. With Booker, what was concerning is, yes, there was the McDaniels factor, but also, man, he just missed bunnies. Like, he missed layups. Yeah.
KD.
He had that, except KD, who we'll talk about next, but he had that one exceptional layup after ISOing on Gobert in the first half. Baseline, yeah. we've seen him almost in that exact spot against that exact player before and have highlights.
Yeah.
And he had an incredible layup in the first half. He also missed multiple easy layups, just in a way
rushing
that entirely uncharacteristic for Devin Booker. And so, he just had a really, really, really bad game. Meanwhile, diametrically opposed to him was Kevin Durant, who was awesome in this game. Only had one assist because his teammates could not shoot the ball, but had 31 points, 7 rebounds, shot 11 for 17 from the field, made difficult shots in the mid-range, which, as we all expected, was the area that the Timberwolves were willing to live with him taking shots out of. Also, Kat, not hiding on Grayson Allen in this game, was the guy who was going straight at Kevin Durant. And I think, you know, KD got the result out of that we basically expected. But the role players were not able to get it going for the Suns.
Yeah, so we should talk about that. So we sort of anticipated that the Wolves were going to try something different, because what they tried in the regular season continued to not work against the Suns to try to defend them. And they did. So their plan was, at least to start this game, Karl-Anthony Towns did guard Kevin Durant, something we talked extensively about on the podcast, which still did lead to KD having a good game, not necessarily taking every shot on KD, but forcing the Wolves to switch often, because Karl-Anthony Towns is not a screen navigator as a guy who's 7 feet tall. No 7 foot tall player is. So that's what they did there. On the other side of that, McDaniels continues to play on Devin Booker. The second two games the Suns played against the Timberwolves in the regular season, McDaniels guarded Devin Booker. Devin Booker, although he did have some great passes and did orchestrate the offense well, did not have high scoring games. So for that to continue, not entirely surprising for me. And then lastly, Anthony Edwards, who we were not sure who he was going to guard, ended up on Bradley Beal. And to me, that was where I think the Suns did not recognize that particular matchup quickly enough in order to go at that, because of how difficult he just doesn't navigate screens well, and that continued to happen in this game. Got Nurkic a few dunks because it forces Gobert so high out of the paint, and the Suns can create good shots out of that if it's somebody coming off the corners to stop Nurkic at the rim,
yeah.
then yeah. And if they're not, Nurkic can score when he's wide open. He struggles when he's covered, but he can score when he's wide open.
Couple things on that. One, I actually think, you know, we just talked about KD. I actually think Bradley Beal did a good job in this game too. If we're continuing with who played positively, he was, and I know they bring this up on the broadcast all the time, and we bring this up all the time, but again, another game where Bradley Beal is basically the only source of rim pressure for the Suns. He was sacrificing his body like crazy out there. In fact, I was pretty afraid at a certain point that he was going to do something, land a wrong way on one of those layup attempts, not get the foul call because of the way the officials are calling the game with the level of physicality, and end up injured or something, right? So Bradley Beal put his body to the test out there and largely got good results out of it. You talk about Nurk, though. I don't know, man. Can Nurk even finish when he's not guarded? I think there were some questionable examples of that tonight. He continues to concern me as generally
the Suns
guy
lost by
not going to have a whole lot of rim gravity.
They lost by 25 points and were -1 with Nurkic on the floor.
Yeah, sure. No, that's fine.
He makes the biggest difference for them so far in 27 minutes. You know, he makes them more difficult to guard. You know, of course, we talked about Eubanks checking in and Anthony Edwards going crazy, which was in some ways coincidental, in some ways not. But Nurkic still does fine in this matchup.
I'm only bringing it up to say that obviously this is nothing new to us. We know that the Suns don't have a lob threat. Who was it that tried? Someone tried to throw a lob to KD today and it did not work. I forget who threw that up.
Was it Royce? Maybe
or EG or someone in the first half. Yeah. And it was just like, yeah, he's too old, man. He can't get that.
He can occasionally get it, but yeah.
This is not a lob catching team. This is not even really a team with any rim gravity or roll gravity for any of these players, including Nurkic. Yes, I know he was only a -1, but when the defense comes up to the level of the screen and you're Bradley Beal and Devin Booker, unfortunately, just the way this team is constructed, you got to turn that corner fast and you got to get to the rim yourself and brace for the contact and score it yourself, because most of the time, I'm not comfortable trusting Nurk in that position to finish. I'm definitely not comfortable trusting Eubanks in that position to finish. And of course, the other thing you can do is pull the big man all together, go small ball five, and just try and generate more threes that way. Largely speaking, the Suns just did not get up enough threes in this game. There's a million things that went wrong, but 9 for 28 in this game, I think they had 10 threes attempted at halftime, was just yet another example of something that we've seen has plagued them all year long, not getting up enough three-point attempts, not looking like a modern offense.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? you won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and credit to the Timberwolves. I think they did a really good job defensively throughout this entire game. But just quickly, and we can get to more on what they did defensively, but just quickly on Nurkic too. As much as I think he does fine when he's wide open at the rim, where he cannot continue to struggle is on rebounds. And he only had 4 rebounds tonight. The Suns got absolutely blasted by second chance points by the Timberwolves. And Nurkic, the point of having Nurkic, right, the reason he's in these games and the reason he's playing the minutes he is, even though the team does play much better when he's on the floor overall, he's not out there to score a lot of points. He's not taking a ton of shots. He has to do the other things extremely well. So whether that be screening or finding ways to get the rebounds that he's capable of getting. And in this game, you know, that's just something that he wasn't able to do. Is it all on him? No, the entire team needs to do a better job of rebounding. You can't allow them to get 13 offensive rebounds is what the Timberwolves ended up with. And let's see, second chance points. I don't have that in front
of me. Dude, it was, I don't have it in front of me. We know it was bad. It was so bad. Is it on the team stats tab here? It is.
Not on ESPN, yeah.
Not on ESPN. But like the Timberwolves, they dominated us in fast break points. They dominated us in bench points. They dominated us in second chance points. The Suns had 75 field goal attempts. The T-Wolves had 88. And you know what's crazy is, yes, the Suns committed 15 turnovers. Ideally, you get that number down a little bit more. But like the Wolves are not the greatest team, as we know, in the NBA taking care of the basketball themselves. They also had 14 turnovers. The Suns just could not convert on any of their conversion attempts in order to get some fast break points for themselves. They just couldn't. They did not push the pace. They did not rebound the ball. They were just outworked in so many different areas, so many different facets of this game.
We talked about the main headlines of the game, but before we get too far into this podcast, we have to mention something else that's huge potentially for the series, and that's that Grayson Allen left this game with an injury and did not come back and play. And I know Grayson was struggling in the minutes that he did play, but this is still an incredibly, we talked a lot about it on our preview, an incredibly important series for him to play and to play well. And I don't know the extent of his injury. I know he came down on, I forget whose foot it was, and rolled it forward, which is not ever good with a rolled ankle. I would anticipate, especially if this is a longer series, that he definitely plays again. I think there's a good chance that he does not, at the very least, play in the next game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, watching the team try to figure out some of the small ball minutes that they were working with without Grayson Allen, I think, And as much as Eric Gordon tries, he's 35. Grayson Allen is a much better player than Eric Gordon at this stage of their careers.
And just a bigger
It would look better player. With Grayson Allen.
Just a bigger player, just a faster player. Yeah, he's got so many advantages over EG. That being said, a couple things. One, even when Grayson played, he played 25 minutes in this game and was having a horrible game until he went down. Obviously, I hope he's okay. Yeah. We'll wait for the updates. But he was not doing the Suns any favors when he played tonight, because he looked so afraid to shoot the ball. The Suns need him to shoot the ball. If he comes back, plays later in the series, the Suns need him to shoot the ball. Eric Gordon also had a horrible game. But there are people online, many people in fact, saying, oh, see, this is why you can't play Eric Gordon. This is why Bol Bol needs to play. This is why Thad Young needs to play. No, actually, Eric Gordon needs to play. It might not be ideal, but if the Suns want any chance of getting out of the series, they need Grayson Allen and Eric Gordon to play, and they need both guys to make threes, because they're the only two on this in this entire rotation who take spot-up threes. It's really important that the team has some semblance of spacing in order for the offense to continue to function. So I know Eric Gordon cannot bring the same defensive presence, even as Grayson Allen. He needs to continue to play. He went 0 for 5. Tonight, he needs to figure that shit out. He's going to keep getting
minutes.
This
is who he is.
Yes.
It's who he's been all year. He'll have games where he goes 0 for 5, and the next game he'll hit 4 threes, 5 threes. And hopefully that happens in Minnesota. The Suns cannot win this series without winning a game in Minnesota. I think if Grayson plays and he plays well, you can get away with playing less Eric Gordon. But without Grayson, he absolutely has to play.
Without Grayson, welcome.
Suns have to figure out ways to do that.
Without Grayson, if it comes to that, you're saying welcome to the Royce O'Neal 40 minutes per game experience, which if that's where you got to go.
Which might already be. Almost, you know, if we're not playing Drew Eubanks.
Yeah.
You know, Royce was the only guy off the bench that played well in this game, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, they only played three players off the bench. Bench, Royce, Drew, and Eric Gordon. The rest of the guys, by the way, we got playoff points for both Josh Okogie and Nasir Little. Congratulations to those guys, especially Nasir Little, who I assume this must be the first playoff points for Nasir Little in his career. Maybe not. I don't actually know for sure.
No playoff points for Isaiah Thomas. Four minutes.
Nope.
0-for-2 nope. from the field.
No Thad Young points, yeah.
Tough.
But Royce did a good job, I think, throughout this game.
He's
unafraid to shoot. He scored 14 points. Look, they still got killed with him on the floor. He can't guard Anthony Edwards by himself, but we anticipated that. Nobody on the Suns can. In fact, I would make the guess. I haven't looked at any stats because those aren't available immediately after the game, but my guess is that the best defender on Anthony Edwards so far has been Bradley Beal, based on my thoughts of it. But the Suns can't do it no matter who it is. If they start with Bradley Beal, no matter who it is, they can't do it by themselves. The entire team needs to be out there to try and stop him. I do want to talk the Timberwolves defense. We finally saw, Suns fans in particular, just how good it can be and how difficult they can make it for guys to score. We knew that this in particular, this matchup, unless you put McDaniels on KD, which they don't want to do clearly, we knew that KD was going to find ways to score. What do you think the Suns need to do to try to get more out of Devin Booker in this one, in the next game?
I mean, it begins again with the pace. I just thought from the opening moment, like there was one moment at the very beginning of the second half where the Suns got to stop. Grayson Allen pushed it up the floor, kicked it to I can't remember who, made a three. And it was like one brief shining moment where it was clear that whatever was being said to them was in the locker room was getting through. And then they just went right back to old habits, right? So what do they need to... I don't know. What do you think they need to do to get Devin Booker specifically going?
Well, there's one thing. He could make layups.
Sure. I mean,
which is not on the coaching staff. It's just something you mentioned. Yeah. But the other thing is, I think he needs to continue to shoot those pull-up threes as much as possible. And I even think there are times if Gobert's on him on the perimeter and he does one little jab step and Gobert takes that step back, take it on Gobert. You can get to the rim, but the Timberwolves are very good at bringing help once you start driving. And we talked about it, without guys willing to take threes, it's similar to, I think, the Lakers series 3 years ago with Anthony Davis out there with Devin Booker, and Devin Booker being forced to shoot some more pull-up threes than he had been shooting previous to that. Because if they're going to give it to him, they're going to give it to him. And if they start coming out and attacking him a little higher, ultimately he does have to give up the ball in a lot of those scenarios and trust his team to get it back to him. But the other thing, shifting him off the ball, running the offense through Bradley Beal even more, I think could be helpful to get Devin Booker at least some spot-up shots. He had a few opportunities, a few of them not great passes where he didn't catch it quite right and couldn't get the shot up fast enough with the Timberwolves, who are very fast to recover. But a couple more of those I think would be helpful for him. But ultimately, he needs to score when he has the ball in his hands. The screens need to hit. He needs to get beyond that second line of defense and just be more decisive. And we've seen him do that.
That's
before.
Yeah. Decisiveness is that's the name of the game, right? It's pull up threes is always a great thing to emphasize with Book. I guess what I just worry about is, okay, what if he comes out and he's 1-for-5, 1-for-6? Does he keep shooting?
Right.
Does he have the confidence to keep shooting? Does he have the confidence to be decisive with the ball? And tonight he just wasn't. So that's why I say we got to flush the results of game one and hope that a different Devin Booker comes out in game two. Otherwise, it's going to be a short series.
Yeah, he needs to play better overall. And I think
he's fighting. Does he realize what he's fighting for here? He's fighting for the Team USA top shooting guard narratives. He's fighting for something very important. He's going to hear shit all summer long if he can't wise up and get through this series.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And if Anthony Edwards continues to play like he is, he's definitely earned it. Of course, the Suns' defense is never quite the level of defense that the Timberwolves is, so Anthony Edwards is facing a little bit less pressure, but he's delivering on that at the very least so far in game one.
They really did have some remarkable closeouts, man. The speed of their rotations, the Timberwolves' defense, that is. A couple of different times, it was like guys just spawned out of nowhere to contest a three-pointer. So, yeah, I was impressed. They brought an intensity that just was not apparent in a lot of their regular season matchups. Definitely the physicality of the officiating helps a little bit. But I will also say, you know, both teams shot a good amount of free throws in the end in this game. Suns shot 25 free throws.
Yeah, but Booker didn't.
Booker had six. That's fine.
Yes,
you get six.
I believe four of those six were in the fourth quarter.
You get hacked more often than that.
His first free throw attempt on a shooting foul was halfway through the third quarter.
I think what's frustrating fans and the players alike is less so the volume of calls and more so the inconsistency, because the entire first quarter, nothing was called. Nothing.
Yeah.
And then switch flipped in the second quarter, and all of a sudden both teams were in the bonus with like 6 minutes left in the quarter, and you're like, okay, what's really going on here? How are we calling this game? It's like the officials couldn't figure out exactly how they wanted to call the game. But again, if you're the Suns, you cannot just complain about the officiating. You cannot act like this was a 25-point deficit or a 25-point loss at the hands of the officials, because that is a loser's.
They were letting some physicality go on the other side of that too. Yeah. The Suns were definitely being physical.
That's a loser's mentality, and I am curious. Again, it's too late for the reporters to even have posted what the coaches and players are saying in the locker room
too
today.
Early. Yeah.
Did I say too late? Yeah, it's too early. Yeah. I am curious to see what all of them are going to say. Hopefully it's nothing really related to the officiating. We didn't get a fight today. I thought at one point we might get a full-blown fight, and we didn't get that. Yeah. So it at least didn't come in game one. I guess that's a positive sign.
Yeah, I thought it was funny at a certain point. The announcer said something like, in their previous matchup, Anthony Edwards got into it with Frank Vogel. And I was like, that's not what it is. It was Brad Beal and Chris Finch.
Yeah, I don't
It
I
was
don't
funny
know.
To mix
it.
That up a little bit. But
Hubie Brown is hilarious, by the way. Did you watch the ESPN broadcast?
Yes,
because I know it was on Arizona Family as well. But Hubie's just
no. I watched the ESPN.
He is one of a kind, man. That's all. That's all I'll say. He is funny.
Yeah, 100 of a kind at this point.
Yeah.
Kyle Anderson, hip injury, hip pointer, I believe they called it. After just playing 5 minutes into this game, left the game. They said he immediately said he was out for the rest of the game. He could be back in the next game, but assuming he's out for a little bit longer, you know, it all depends. Because if we're talking about Grayson Allen being out and Kyle Anderson being out, Grayson Allen is a much bigger loss for the Suns than Kyle Anderson is for the Timberwolves. But any thoughts on there being a potential stretch of this series where Kyle Anderson isn't playing?
Yeah. Yes. First of all, what you said, Grayson Allen is a much bigger loss for us. In spite of that loss, though, just to point out the phenomenal, truly phenomenal game that Nikhil Alexander Walker had off the bench for the Timberwolves, I think, because he was the guy getting the brunt of those minutes without Kyle Anderson. He played 29 minutes tonight, made four threes, had 18 points, four rebounds, two assists, and four steals off the bench.
Yeah, he's good.
He is good.
Three in the first half. Yeah.
So he is good for sure, and I think he's always it's the difference between a guy who, what year is this in the NBA for him, like four or five? It's the difference between a guy who stuck around in the NBA for a few years because he was young and had potential and everyone could see he had defensive talent versus, oh, he can actually play offense now. We didn't know that he could do that. You hope that this game is just an example of he had a career night and he's not going to show out like that for the rest of the series. But he did have legitimately an awesome shooting performance, and is a big reason why, you know, the Suns need to continue to pressure Ant. I think they need to continue to pressure Cat, force those guys to put the ball on the floor and make decisions. However, why Minnesota won 56 games this season is partially because, actually, their role players just shot a great percentage from three around those guys all year. So you're not, it's not like you're forcing the ball to Josh Okogie and Azir Little there. You're forcing the ball to a guy in Nikhil Alexander-Walker who over the past 2 or 3 years has legitimately learned how to shoot and was close to a 40% three-point shooter in the regular season. So if he ends up playing, you know, 25 minutes per, or 20 minutes or something per game this series,
it's not bad for them
because Kyle Anderson is missing time. They lose a little bit of size, but honestly, he's a guy who plays bigger than his size anyway. So, you know, I don't think it's such a huge loss.
I think the Timberwolves can't expect Devin Booker to continue to play badly, even as good as McDaniels is. We're definitely going to see some better games by Devin Booker throughout this series.
Book just had his Anthony Edwards 14 points. It's the same exact thing. It's like if you were expecting Anthony Edwards to come out and lay four eggs in a row against the Suns, then you were being an idiot. And similarly,
it's no surprise to me that it was this game that he exploded. He could do it more times, of course.
He could,
but it's no surprise to me that he was prepared to do that in this game.
You know what's so funny though? Is just Ant talk. Okay, so Cat played pretty well in this game too. And, you know, Cat's in some ways is a little bit more like a role player for the Timberwolves now anyway. He's not like a real pure superstar. I hope that's not disrespectful.
Well, especially post-injury. He was pretty good throughout the regular season.
Yeah, sure. He's good. Don't get me wrong. But Ant is out here. He's scoring. He's dropping 18 points in a row in the third quarter. He's talking mad shit, that makes sense. Like, he's Anthony Edwards, and B, he's on a heater. He earned it. Carl Anthony Towns. Yeah. In the second quarter, I think he was like 1-for-4 or 0-for-3 or something at the time, makes his first layup of the game like halfway through the second quarter. Maybe it's called an and one that like the whistle blows, and he immediately just starts pounding his chest like he was on a heater of like 10 or 15 points straight, which just the difference between those two guys watching Cat just makes me laugh. He's just a funny player. That's
I mean, to be fair, he played well. Like, if anyone was waiting for Carl Anthony Towns or Rudy Gobert to have bad games, which they have had in the playoffs before, they didn't in this one. I think Gobert was really, really good at just getting every rebound. First of all, he had 16 total in the game. And then of course, Karl Anthony Towns still did well. I still think Karl Anthony Towns, if he continues to turn down 3-point shots and only shoot two, that will eventually play into the Suns' hands. You know, I think Naz Reid, when he was out there taking threes, and I know he only made two, it just was a little scarier, I think, for the Suns, the way that they guard Anthony Edwards. It makes it harder to do what they do. On the other side of that, Mike Conley did play badly. He was 2-for-12. He still is beneficial for them overall. And I think he obviously is a guy who's great at organizing their offense. But, you know, if we're talking about the Timberwolves, they can't expect Devin Booker to play this badly. For the Suns, you know, they got a little lucky, I think, with Mike Conley shooting 2-for-12, and they still lost by 25. So they have to find ways to continue to make it difficult for him.
When you put it like that.
Yeah. I mean, Devin Booker played really bad too. So like there's luck, a little bit of luck on both sides.
It's just really.
And also Bradley Beal only shooting 10 shots. That's not enough.
When he's playing well, right? Because it's like, it's one thing for Brad to come out and he's struggling and okay, so he shrinks into the background a little bit and he takes 10 shots. But Brad was our second best player tonight. He needs to take more than 10 shots if he's got it going.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if you're putting Anthony Edwards on him. You can't let Anthony Edwards essentially hide on defense by not attacking that matchup over and over and over again. And I understand the extent to which Brad has been tasked with getting other guys involved. These guys are going to play a lot of minutes now. He played 37 in this game. This is the time where you need to be a star. In fact, if you want to zoom out entirely all the way to last offseason, all the way to last playoffs, the reason the Suns made the moves that they did is because they didn't have enough star power to win games. And now we're looking at this playoff game, and it's just game one. It's just game one. But we're looking at this playoff game where the 35-year-old former MVP is the only one who played really, really well. And we have Bradley Beal only taking 10 shots and Devin Booker missing 11 shots in this game. They need to play better because that's what this team was constructed to do. They have to. You know, if they don't, It's an indictment on the entire process. It's an indictment on the entire idea of the team once they traded for Kevin Durant, because they're sacrificing players like McDaniels in Mikal Bridges, for example, for a player like Kevin Durant, who did his job.
Did his job.
Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely did his job.
But the rest of them have to do it too.
Yeah. There you go.
What do you think about the next game now? It's coming up a few days from now. Another one in Minnesota. This is the one the Suns have to steal, in my mind, right?
Of course.
This is a huge game.
Yes, they need to steal this. It's good to get the extra day of, I don't know if it's going to be an extra day of rest or an extra day of practice, but either way, they need to clear their minds. And I think that extra 24 hours will allow them to reset in a beneficial way. So I'm excited for that. They need to come out with a better process and more energy, you know, not just trying to play catch up from behind once you're already down 10 or 15 and that's when the urgency comes out. No, they need to hit the ground running with a level of urgency that we saw from them in the final regular season game of the year, but did not see tonight. So hopefully we see that on Tuesday. Is that the Tuesday? Okay. They have even more than 72 hours because today was an early game.
Yeah,
so
true.
They've got 80 hours until game two. Yep. So you better use it right.
You know, we talked a lot about the guys needing to step up, the actual players. But, you know, when Frank Vogel was hired, he said, you know, I love the regular season, but you know what I really look forward to?
The playoffs.
Coaching in the playoffs. Yeah. Really getting in there and building a game plan and making adjustments. Well, here's his chance. Prove his worth. Ultimately, this man is coaching for his life here.
Oh, man. There it is. I mean, you're right. You're 100%
right. He's coaching for his job.
100% right. Yeah, of course.
All of these guys, they're designed to be good in the playoffs, right? That's the idea of this team. It's not to say that the general management team for this team did a perfect job putting the team together and to put them all in the right position to win. They traded four guys for one in the middle of the season because those four guys were awful. But they're all here for that reason, and that includes Frank Vogel. So adjustments come now because this next game is really important.
If you, know, you think... keep going. Sorry to cut you off.
No, I just wanted to mention the small ball lineup again.
Okay, sure.
Because in this game, it did not go well. And part of the reason it didn't go well, a couple of really stupid passes. Just really dumb passes at inopportune moments that led to some immediate layups and momentum-changing layups by the Minnesota Timberwolves. But it's another... Drew Eubanks, we talked about him potentially being playable. Maybe he will be at some point of the series. Didn't happen today.
I just don't want to think about it, man. I don't want to talk about it.
Didn't happen today. So,
Drew Eubanks,
I don't know. Do you
sorry.
Have thoughts on the small ball lineup and how it looked in this game and how much they need to go to it?
Yes,
in the future?
It looked bad. They have to, of course it looked bad because of those errant passes. They have to continue to go to it because they don't have other options. That's their lever. That's their thing that they can pull. That's their identity. If they try and play more like the Minnesota Timberwolves, I just don't think you beat the Minnesota Timberwolves that way because the Timberwolves are really good at being the Timberwolves. You know, that's all there is to it. But also Nurkic just has to do his job in his minutes again.
That's exactly right.
The 16-4 rebound advantage just really is a bitter pill to swallow. I was just going to say about Frank Vogel coaching for his job, that if you think Matt Ishbia, CEO of United Wholesale Mortgage, is going to accept being embarrassed on national TV like this, buddy, you've got something else coming.
Imagine the voicemail.
Imagine the voicemail that's sitting in Frank Vogel's inbox right now. Buddy, it's time.
It's probably nasty. Yeah.
Who knows?
All right. We will be back, as always, after the next game, continuing to do it. By the way, Sam, some pretty cool playoff games tomorrow. Do you want to... I know people can't watch the streams with us on playback, but do you want to watch those on playback? We'll just talk along with people, or at least maybe watch the Mavs-Clippers game if you're free.
I will be on a train most of tomorrow.
Okay. Probably
not. It depends. Maybe for a late game, but it depends.
All right, let me know. And I think I would like to do that. And people who are listening, let us know if you'd like to join us to watch non-Suns playoff games.
If you guys want me to...
We can still talk about the Suns during the stream.
If you want me to plug in my interface into my laptop and put the Amtrak Wi-Fi to test, and we could try and play back from an Amtrak train, that would be fun.
It'd be pretty funny, yeah, admittedly. We could track your location as you're on the train. All right, well, thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back after game two, hopefully after a more exciting win. They're on track for your one prediction, Sam, which is that they could still win the series and still have a negative
win the series that they could win the series and embarrass us thoroughly multiple times is what I was saying. And yes, folks, they absolutely still can win the series. Yeah. We're down 1-0. Keep your spirits up for now, okay? If we go down 2-0 on Tuesday night, I think the tone will be a little bit different. Keep your spirits up for now. Let's hope that I don't know. I'm not gonna tell you to hope for anything. Hope is dead. Everything is bad. The world sucks. The sky's falling. See you guys on Tuesday.
Right. Thanks, everyone.